our folks on the internet have been waiting because we're running a little late, and we do thank you for waiting on us because today, as most of you know who've been with us for some time, we do our Christmas communion the Sunday before Christmas. We do not do communion on Christmas Eve. We thank you for waiting for us and sticking around to partake of our sermon today. And our sermon today is entitled Beautiful in God's Eyes. And this is our last Advent sermon. It's our fourth Advent sermon because tomorrow we actually will be doing our Christmas Eve service, and that's an entirely different message. And I pray that you'll be here for that. That will not be on the internet, hopefully you will be here with us to celebrate Christmas Eve. So today, our last installment of Advent is Beautiful in God's Eyes. And I'm really wrapping up the teachings that were given to us during Advent. The first being that we are the light of the world. The second, which was totally accidental, not really. Yes, ma'am. Merry Christmas. Oh, God bless you. God bless you. The second was kind of accidental in that Pastor Brito was here. I had no idea what his message was going to be, right? And thank you again.
Song.
I love that. We heard Pastor Brito preach on peace, and it was so amazing because what was the candle that week? Peace, okay? And he had no idea what my Christmas lineup was, and not only was it peace, but it is the fact that finding peace is that God has come near to us, okay? That's Emmanuel, okay? And then finally, being the salt of the earth. And today I want us to understand that when we take those three pieces, when we take serious the thought of being the light of the world, or the light of the earth, that's what we're called. Jesus is the light of the world, which means the universe, everything that's created. We are the light of the earth, that we are the ones who spiritually illuminate the earth because God dwells in us. That we bring God's peace through Jesus Christ, His Son, that He is Emmanuel, He is near to us. And third, that we are the salt of the world, that we give that spice of life, that preservative, that cleansing, that healing that only can come through salt. We are beautiful in God's eyes. How do I know that? Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would, with me, to the book of Isaiah. We're going Old Testament on you today, and that's not a bad thing because without the Old Testament, we wouldn't understand half of the New Testament. And without the New Testament, we wouldn't understand half of the Old Testament. So as we look at the book of Isaiah, we're going to be in chapter 52. And we're going to start in verse number 7. We're going to start in verse number 7 in chapter 52, the book of Isaiah. And the word of the Lord to us reads, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, 'Your God reigns.' Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices and they shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth, shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people and has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has barred his holy arm, his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. Amen." When I read that word, I have to remember that this word was written over 800 years before the coming of the Christ, but yet it was a proclamation of the coming forth of Christ, and yet it was so much more. Now, it says in there that How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Do we understand that? Well, if not, I'm going to explain it today. Because years ago, they didn't have telephones. They didn't have Facebook. They didn't have Twitter. So when someone was receiving a message, they didn't have the U.S. Postal Service either. I have people saying, praise Jesus. It's only because they work for them. But what they did have were messengers who were sent out. And the watchmen would wait on the walls of the cities. And they would see these people coming because they knew a messenger. Because he had a satchel around his side and he was running. Because the messages were important. They were coming from kings and governors and what have you. And when they saw these messengers coming, they would blow the trumpets. And they would proclaim a messenger's on his way. But they had no idea whether he was bringing good news or bad news. It was only after he arrived that they could tell whether it was good news or bad news. But I proclaim to you today that God says, you have beautiful feet. He sees you coming. And he says, this is a beautiful message because you are bringing peace. You are proclaiming peace. You are proclaiming the gospel that my son liveth. And God says, we are beautiful in his sight. We need to understand that this old time reality has a new time formality, and it's called the Church of Jesus Christ. As we go out from this place, how many of you have ever thought of yourselves as living on Mount Lebanon? That's where we live. Or Mount Fredericksburg, okay? Or Mount Quentin. Because lovely on the mountains are the feet of them who bring good news. And God sees it. And God loves you, and God wants you to pour out that message 24/7, 365 and a quarter. I don't know how we get that quarter day in except every fourth year, but praise God for it. Because he has a way that he wants us to bring his provision. Now, it's amazing because I tied a whole bunch of other scriptures in there. And I want you to look at this. Because when it comes to verse 8, it says, they shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Do you realize what that's talking about? That's talking about us in eternity. That's talking about us now. You know, we were talking about this at discipleship, and Miss Gloria said, you know, Bobby said that, you know, the Lord's coming back soon, and Gloria said, yeah, Dan and I may be raptured together. We might get out of this thing yet together. And that's, we're all looking for that, I pray. That the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We'll not know the day nor the hour, but boom, we're out of here. We're gone. But until that day, we've got work to do because we will see. Whether you are here and it happens or whether you are in eternity and it happens, because we have proclaimed it, we will shout joyfully because we will see that day with our own eyes because we'll be there one way or another and we will joy in the Lord. For his prophecies are true and complete. It's just a matter of him fulfilling it in his time. Do you see how today's discipleship ties in with today's message? God is so good. And all the time. I love him. He puts things together that I couldn't put together if I tried. He is good. So when we think about this wonder, this how do we know, you know, what's going on, you know, I want us to understand that God has bared, this is verse 10, look at verse 10. It says, the Lord has bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations. Does anybody understand what it means to bear your arm? Okay, that means God has shown his strength. God has shown his hand. He is playing Texas Hold'em, and his cards are down on the table, and you can see them for what they are. He has shown his power. How did he do that? Jesus Christ, his son, came born as a baby in a manger. Something so simple, something so precious, something so natal, something so is the fullness of God's power, because that baby could not be defeated. Even in his death as a man, he could not be defeated. How do we know that? Because the grave could not hold him. 3 days after he went in, he came back up out. And when he came out, he came out with glory. When he came out, he came out with power. When he came out with every one of us in his trait. He is the risen, living Lord, our God, the second person of the Trinity. And in him we have placed our hope, and by him we have life both now and forevermore. Can I get an amen? Amen. We are beautiful in God's eyes, because when he looks upon us, he does not see our sin anymore. He sees his son and he sees his daughter, because we have received the payment of our sin, the price that Christ paid for us, the love of God poured out on the cross of Calvary. So when he sees you, he doesn't see what you did. He sees what you're going to do and who you're going to be. And that means we have something to do and we have something to be, because God has said it. Because he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And you are supposed to be out there with me bringing that good news. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that does not mean you have to go out there and thump people with the Bible. That means you need to be Christ in this world, just as he was in this world. The word in him. Is the word in you? Yes. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, the word is in you. And all you have to do is live that word in the sight of all the people that are around you and speak it when God asked you to. But be it all the time. I want you to look with me, if you would, in the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 9 through 17. Because now we have something to do. And in doing it, God says we are beautiful in his sight. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're in verses 9 through 17. Thus saith the word of the Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches to all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent, just as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed your report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Amen. As we look at this word, we have to open it up. We've got to put it into perspective. And from verse 9, through 13, it tells us here that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths, we will be saved. How many of you here have done that? Do you need to raise your hand? I know you, all right? And if I don't know you, I hope to get to know you, because I want to know your salvation, not because of what you say, but because of who you are. Because you're either going to be it or you're not. You can't fake this. Many people try, but the fruit on the tree kind of poisons the whole thing. Because when we don't see the fruit, or the fruit's naughty and bad and nasty, we know what's the tree's made of. Can I get an amen? But when we have given this unto the Lord, and we have spoken these words, and we have lived this word, we have allowed that word. The word is God, and the word was with God, and the word is God. We know that God is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And when he lives in us, we are changed. We cannot be the same. And when God looks upon us, he says, beautiful, my son. You know, we just looked at it today. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, and he said, this is my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased. Do you know that's what he says about us when he looks upon us? He says, more than beautiful. He says, I love you, and I'm pleased. That's what he says to us. And then we have something to do. We have something to do. We have received him. We are walking in him. He is in us. He says, now, you were told about me. You know, and I think it's funny because people are like, yeah, well, you know, let those folks take care of themselves. I got mine, right? Isn't that what the world teaches us? Isn't that what the world teaches us? Go out and get your own and let other people worry about themselves. But you get yours. I've heard preachers preach that, and they don't even realize they're preaching it. It's called the prosperity gospel. Oh, yeah, you go out, you work hard, you pull up your boots, you do this, you do that, and God's going to bless you. Wrong chicken. I'm from Lebanon. We know the right chicken. And if you don't know about Lebanon, research it. You'll find that Hinkletown is just north of here. That's Pennsylvania Dutch for chicken town. That's Fredericksburg. We're the chicken people. We know chicken. But the reality is we know Christ. Amen. And in that fullness, as we know Christ, Christ knows us. And we have been saved by somebody else's grace being poured out to us. And that grace is always Jesus Christ. And now we need to go out. And isn't that what it says? Look at what it says here in the scriptures. It's very clear. It says, how will they call upon him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? You know, how many of you like to think of yourself as a preacher? I got a couple hands up. The reality is, your life is either preaching Jesus Christ or it's preaching damnation. You don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. So we are either a preacher of good or a preacher of bad, because preacher means teacher. And you can't get away from it. Because when you look in the mirror, guess what? That's what everybody else sees too. So we are given a message. The question is, what message are you going to give? Are you going to give the message of the world, or are you going to give the message of Jesus Christ into this world? That we would be seen in God's sights as being beautiful in his eyes. Because we have taken that message out. Or are we going to be like it says here, who has believed their message? And believe me, there are going to be people out there who are not going to receive the message that you're given. Okay. In fact, Brother David just gave testimony today. He was at a Good News Club and he got everybody's attention. Now, I want you all to picture this. Brother David with his long hair and beard, probably wearing your work clothes. Yeah. You know, all raggeded and, you know, he's wearing his work clothes. And he stands up. I like to have everybody's attention. And they're probably thinking, what does this nutcake want? And then he invites them to church. He said, and just that quick, they all started ignoring him and talking again, except one lady. You see, folks, the message isn't for everybody. The message is for those who are open. And that one lady spoke with Brother David and showed interest. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. I don't care what you look like. We just spoke about it today. You know, John the Baptist wore a camel's hair coat and wore a leather belt. I'm sure he had a long beard and long hair, and he even ate locusts. How many of you are going to eat locusts? I'll take the honey, but we'll let the locusts, right? But the neat thing is, what is that saying to us? We learned this today. God uses you the way you are. He doesn't expect you to be anything else except Christ-centered. We got to remember, God accepts us where we are. He changes us from where we are to where he wants us to be. That's one of the things that's wrong with our world today, and you all know it. There are churches out there that preach, oh, God loves everybody. Come as you are. You're made in God's image. And God has you just the way you want. Wrong. We are sinners saved by grace. Our forefathers were created in the image of God. We now are procreated in the image of fallen Adam. But we can be restored by the death, burial, and resurrection of the second Adam, who is Christ Jesus our Lord. So we can be born again, born of the Spirit. Isn't that what we talk about, Brother Mitch? And it's getting that idea out that I'm a changed person. I'll guarantee you, you would not think I should be a pastor if you knew some of the stuff I did to this poor lady before we became Christians and I became a pastor. The fact that we're married 33 years, getting ready to go to 34. I do every day, because if I were her, I wouldn't have been here this long. But she stuck it out. And I think she got the better bargain. Because where I am now is a whole lot better than where I used to be. And I think it's cool because I won no matter what with having her in my life, because she is God's love to me. And that's the way it's meant to be. But you folks need to understand, this is everything you guys need to do and can be too, because you already are. I look at some of you people, you come in here on a Sunday morning, you're all smiles and you're ready to go, you want to worship God, and then I wonder what happens when you get out those doors. Do we cringe back, or do we let that light shine? You know, when Moses came off the mountain after he met God, his face shone with such a glory that the people were so afraid of him that they made him put a veil over his face. Do you know our world is doing that to us today? Our world is shutting us down as Christians, that we're just supposed to do this stuff inside the church, and when you get out there, shut up. Put a blanket on it. Okay? You know that ice water challenge thing? I think that was purely for Christians, just to douse our flames and put us out. You're all thinking, well, that's crazy. Yeah, I know, I'm nuts. But I'm nuts for Jesus. And I want you all to understand, God says, you have beautiful feet. More than beautiful feet, God sees us, because God looks at the feet as the foundation. He says, your foundation is beautiful, and he's building the rest of it, amen? We just need to let the foundation be beautiful, and if the foundation's beautiful, the building above it will stand. It'll stand the test of time and eternity, because Jesus Christ is that foundation, and he himself is eternal. We are the light of the earth. We proclaim peace with everything we are and do. Does our world receive it? No. But we are the salt of life, because many people need not only light to be illuminated and then the message of peace, but they need salt in their lives to be healed where they're hurting. They need salt in their lives to be cleansed where they're dirty. They need salt in their lives to be preserved. And the whole time the light has to be shining so they can see what's going on, so that they understand that we do nothing in darkness, and that the proclamation of peace is right and true and full and holy and now. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
It is who we are. I thought I was. Jesus Christ is our peace. God is near. He has come to us. You know, I think it's amazing. You know, that's the parable of the prodigal son. I want you to think about this, because the parable of the prodigal son speaks of God the Father, all right? But it's also a beautiful picture of Christ the Son. It says in the scriptures there that the prodigal son realized his sin, realized his separation from God, realized his need, and he turned and he started towards home. And then it says in the scriptures that the father saw him from a long way off because he recognized his gait. Okay? In other words, the way he walks. You know, some of us, we got the thing going on, you know, however yours is, you know. And I'll guarantee you, you know, my dad used to tell me, yeah, I could tell that's him. He would look at my feet print in the snow, and he'd say, yeah, that's my boy going there. And he was generally right. You know, just the way we walk, we can tell who's who. God can tell who's who. The amazing thing is, I want you to understand this. When did God see? When did the Father see the turning? You know, when we read the story, we think it was, oh, he saw him coming over a hill. No, we need to remember, this is God the Father. As soon as he turned, all he had to do was make that move. And God saw the heart move. He saw the gate open wide. And God ran to him. That's Emmanuel. That's Emmanuel. That's God come down to earth as a babe. That's Emmanuel. He saw our hearts turn. And he came running. It wasn't because we ran 100 miles to get there before he saw us. As soon as our hearts opened up, Emmanuel. God for us. God in us. Man, this is a Christmas message if I ever heard one. We are the light, the salt, and the peace proclaimers. And by God's grace and only his grace, he has taken that which was ugly, foul, dirty, detestable, and he has transformed us into the image of the perfect Son of God by grace. That's you. That's me in Christ. Are we going to take that gift, that present, and get it out there for others to receive? I want you to remember, tomorrow's Christmas Day. That means we have 24 hours. Well, maybe a little bit more than that, maybe about 48 until Christmas Day. We have 48 hours to share this message, right? Wrong. The message does not end on December 25th. God has loved us 24/7, 365 and a quarter. That's why I threw that stuff in there at the beginning. And our message goes out 24/7, 365 and a quarter. I don't care what the government says. I don't care what the liberals think. I know that God has called me to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to this world, and your name is on that call as well. Your soul phone is ringing. Would you please pick it up? There's no call forwarding in this company. God has your number. The question is, who else's number has he given you to call? Because there are many people out there, each and every one of you know. And all God wants you to do is be you in their midst. Be you with Christ in you. Be that beautiful person of God. Show the beauty of God into this world. And God will do the rest. It's that simple. We make it this big thing, don't we? God says, no. It's this little thing. Be you with me in you. And I'll be God. And we can't beat that today. How many of you want to have beautiful feet? How many of you want to be the message that when God looks at you, he says, beautiful in my sight? Would you rise up with me and let us praise God. And let us give him thanks and glory for all that he is and for all that he has done. For he is the light of the world. and we are but a poor reflection, but our reflection brings many to salvation. Gracious Father, we thank you for the love that you have shown us. We thank you for this time of Advent, this time of preparation, this time of anticipation. And Lord, we thank you that you have brought to us the hope, peace, love, and joy of your Son who is our Savior. And now, Lord, may we be that salt and light, proclaiming peace that you are near, Emmanuel. You are here, God with us. And may we be seen as beautiful in your sight, not because of what we have done, Lord God, but because of what you have done in us and are beckoning us to go forth and proclaim. For you are God alone, and your love keeps us, holds us, protects us, and provides for us. For you are our all in all. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.